Nigeria. How could anything go wrong? It's 2 minutes and 3 seconds after the hour of noon. Noon, my friends. In this, the month of March, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day, live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios at Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. This, my friends, draw near that ye might be entertained, for it is the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. Let me give you this number before we progress. 503-733-2970. Eventually, at some point in the very near future, there'll be some sort of an impressive, godlike, big voice here that'll say all that stuff. For now, just imagine that I'm even more masculine than I already am. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Noon to like us, as of a couple days ago. Followed by Tom at 3 and Phil Hendry at 7. It's the best damn station you've ever heard in your whole miserable life. And we are glad to be here, to be a part of it. We're still, because every day now, we've been back, well, this is the third show we've done back. We're back Monday after 11-month absence. And we tried to spread the word as best we could. We tried to tell everybody. We had the email going out and the MySpace and the video and all that. And as much as we like to think that everybody goes to my website every single day, as much as I wake up in my own little hermetically sealed world of ego, where everybody, like in my world, people get out of bed and it's like feet hit the floor, hand hits the mouse, and their browser goes right to rickemerson.com. They find out what's going on in the world of Rick because they can't bear not to know. They can't live without that knowledge. It torments them not to be up to speed.
And in many cases, that is true.
That is true with some of our more devoted fans, with our P1s. They call them here. But so yesterday we had guys who were like, I just heard that you were back on Monday and I missed the show. And I'm sure we're going to hear from some people today who were just, they've stumbled across it, or somebody told them, or they've been out of town. I sent out a newsletter about it last week, and immediately you get 5,000 of those. I am out of the office. In my absence, please contact Don Rabinowitz. He will happen, you know, and the guys are just coming back. They're finding out about it. So welcome. We're glad you're here. All right, coming up today, and as we continue to sort of settle in here at the office, as we continue to settle in here at the studio, things are being moved in. I still don't have a chair, by the way, but I'm not bitter about it. It's okay. I don't mind that they're making their talent stand for 3 hours.
Oh, no, you didn't. You well, not just refer to yourself as the talent.
It's been too long. No, we may have a lead on a chair, though. I may have to go outside the building to get it, but we may have a lead on a chair. We'll look into that
thing. And the rest sit down, as we're often referred to.
And you're the and the rest. You're the professor and Marianne.
Yes, we are.
she will talk about that later on today. But as we continue to move in, I got all this crap I brought with me. It's back in my office. I haven't lugged it in yet. That's the trade-off. I have to stand, but I got an office. It's got a door and everything. And it's not like a fake office. Well, it's sort of a fake office. It's got a door, though. Like the salespeople don't have a door. They don't have walls. They don't have a ceiling. My office is... How big would you... What would you say the dimensions of my so-called office are?
6 by 4?
I'd say 5 by 6.
Everybody... And you can tell, too, because... Everybody who came by to see me last week, and I was moving all the stuff and everything, everybody, when they would talk, they would verbally and then sometimes physically do the quote marks around office. And they all, and like everybody thought they were the first person to do it. People would come by and they go, oh, hey, I'm Jerry. And I'd say, I'm Rick. Right, nice to meet you, Jerry. I thought I'd come by and check out your office. And then they'd like slap me on the shoulder and call me sport and walk away. So there you go, an endless procession of white men coming by my office to make the same joke. I don't know what my office used to be. I don't know if it's like where they kept the brooms.
We all know it was a prize closet.
I think it's a prize closet. It's like that room where the janitor kept the pink stuff that he put on puke. It's something. Anyway, so I got an office. I don't have a chair, though, but in my office right now, I brought with me the firing box. And you all know what the firing box is. The firing box is when you go to work. And it's like when you go in and they pull you into the office and they shut the door and they lower the blinds and they say, it's just not working out. And then you have to go back and on the way back to your desk, you're thinking, leave, gun, leave, gun, leave, gun. And sometimes you pick the gun. And those are good days. Sometimes, though, you just pick the box and you pack all your crap and you go home and you're that guy standing on a street corner, like international sign for, I have been downsized. And it's the guy standing on a street corner, cardboard box, crap peeking out of the top. So I took my firing box home, put it in my basement, and I have not looked in it until today. So it's been 11 months, something like that, almost 12 months. 11 months and some odd days. When Entercom blew us all out, man, I shoved my entire desk into a box. I just got a big box on the floor, and I took my arm, and I went, and I just shoved it all in there, and I took it home, and it's been sitting in my basement ever since last April 21st, and I haven't looked at it. So we're going to go through the firing box today. As part of that, though, there was a whole passel of CDs in there. So we will be counting down the top five worst songs that I randomly found while going through the box of crap that I took home from Entercom when they fired us all in an ill-advised format switch last April 21st. So that'll be coming up later on today. We also have a musical salute to Tim Riley. We're going to be talking to our good friend Gary Baumgarten in New York City, who's going to talk about the theft of internal organs and the violation of corpses.
MySpace must have something to do with it.
Totally. Completely. I got to ask him a follow-up question about that, about his daughter being stalked on MySpace. And not that it's amusing, I'm making light of it, but I do... It's one of those things, because, see, now I think we're all going to be stalked. See, again, in my world, everybody wakes up every day going, how can I find out more about Rick Emerson? How can I be nearer to him every moment of the day? And they don't really think that about me. They think that about Sarah. We are joined today by Sarah X. Dillon, who's running the board and keeping things happening and focused today. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Now, you're wearing your glasses again.
I am.
Now, is this an ongoing trend where you're going to be... Are you going to be like me, where whenever a camera comes out, you take them off, but whenever you're by yourself, you wear your glasses because you're lazy?
Well, I kind of like them, but my eyes have been starting to hurt ever since, you know, I've stopped at the whole sleeping thing. My eyesight's gone.
When do you get up in the morning?
4.
And you're here until 3. Oh, you have an 11-hour workday right now.
I know.
Yeah, but you're on TV, so you should... Can't complain about that. I mean, shut up. There's a whole bunch of guys out there who have, like, carry pipes around all day and, like, bags of cement and whatnot.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying I'm tired.
My eyes
are failing me.
4 a.m. Every time some guy takes our press photos or anything, I always take the glasses off because I just, like, I am forever that insecure 5-year-old that thinks I look like a fool.
And you do, and then it doesn't end up looking like you.
No, I got glasses at such a young age. I got them when I was 5 years old. And it's like, and as everyone says, ad infinitum, children can be so cruel. And they were, man. And it's like, and they were the worst. They were from Sears. They were from the Sears Roebuck Optical Department. They weren't buying me any Kenneth Cole glasses when I was a kid. There's no Calvin Klein. It was all bad. And so to this day, man, if I know I'm going to be photographed, I try to take them off. But it's like, I can't wear those contacts too long because they make my eyes all dry and wacky.
I think I saw you on one show once without your glasses and you had that Baby Jane white powder all over your face.
Oh, was on the poker show?
It might have been, yeah.
Totally, like, yeah, the poker show. Yeah, it was.
Oh, the poker show.
That's one of the things we did during the 11-month hiatus. We'll talk about that later on. That was good times. By which I mean it was not good times. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk to Tim Riley, see what he's got coming up today.
Well, forget about the war in Iraq, the president's dropping popularity, a spike in gas prices, high unemployment. America's feeling good about itself today after Starbucks offers free coffee. The Republicans have snagged the wholesome blonde and buxom Jessica Simpson for a fundraiser. What do the Democrats do? They offer everyone free broadband. A West Lynn High School student in hot water for making and showing broke back high. These stories coming up.
All right, so that's all on the way, as well as a reconnect with Jim Roop. Our CNN radio correspondent from Los Angeles is going to be talking to us about all things Jackson-oriented coming up later on as well. Ladies and gentlemen, let's make way from the city desk with the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour, Tim Riley.
The bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon. This is the City Desk Newsbeat Noontime Edition. Tim Radler reporting. Okay, who got free Starbucks today?
I did not.
I did.
I don't like Starbucks coffee, and I can say that because they don't advertise.
You'd like it a lot more if it was free.
No. Are you still in unemployed mode?
Yeah, I am.
Have you hadn't paid yet?
We got our first check today.
We did.
I was really surprised.
Oh, it's one of those CBS radio checks that's impossible to open.
Yeah.
And you got to open, like you got to pull a string, and then you got to perforate, and you got to tear three things off, and then you got to jump through a hoop, and then you got to stand on one leg. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't, that press release from Starbucks, because they don't do any advertising, any electronic media.
They don't know what Starbucks is.
But they were doing free coffee today from 10 to noon, and I go to Starbucks because... Like, I'm totally brainwashed. All their marketing has worked. Like, whenever we got to meet somebody, like you and I and Sarah, we met last week. It's like, well, let's meet at Starbucks. There's always one nearby.
There is.
Well, we used to go to our coffee people.
We used to go to coffee people, and then they closed it, yeah. Probably because of Starbucks. So, but I always go to Starbucks, and it's like I always go there, and I always order the coffee, and I never like it. It just tastes like ass. I mean, it just tastes like, it tastes burnt. And now, I will say that there are other coffee drinks. I'm not really into lattes and mochas, but those are very good. You know, my wife likes it. I am a big fan of the Frappuccinos. When I used to work at 7-Eleven, they would bring Frappuccinos, and sometimes they would bring one case too many, and they would forget to take it. And so I would just put those things down. Man, those Frappuccinos, and they're like $80, and it's like an ounce. And you, it's like a shot. I mean, you, the Frappuccino, you can put that down in about 5 seconds because they're not carbonated. One gulp, that thing will go down. But the actual coffee, I don't even know what this coffee is they got here, though. This coffee in the kitchen, it's all weak and whatnot, so I got to make it like double strength.
Anyway, they were, because they stopped a few minutes ago. It was only from 10 to noon. Yeah. They were calling it their name brand coffee break.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's your cue. Okay.
Name brand coffee.
Take two.
Oh. Coffee is hot. Right. Okay, so the cup runneth over, but be careful. The coffee is hot even if it is free at Starbucks, where the line started to get long when the little hand hit 10 and the big hand hit 12 for a two-hour promotion. Well, for most that is, but not everyone.
But I don't like coffee at all. Even if it's free, I'm not going to take it.
Starbucks is still happy he bought a pastry, while this woman sipped on her Java that was gratis.
Are you surprised today and shocked to find out they were doing this?
I heard it on the radio this morning.
I don't understand anything about this soundbite.
Like you got to start it again. I'm confused.
Across the U.S. took part in the promotion. Ed McCarthy, CNN.
Hey, that's Ed McCarthy in Atlanta.
Right.
I don't recognize anybody's voice when they're not talking to me like this. If it's a full microphone, full frequency recording, I don't understand anybody's voice. Let's listen to that one more time. And McCarthy did a really poor job of editing this, by the way, because there's like a real obvious snip about halfway through. Let's listen again.
Maybe it wasn't him.
Okay, so the cup runneth over, but be careful. The coffee is hot even if it is free at Starbucks, where the line started to get long when the little hand hit 10 and the big hand hit 12 for a two-hour promotion. Well, for most that is, but not everyone.
Let's hear that again.
I don't like
12 for a two-hour promotion. Well, for most that is, but not everyone.
Yeah. But I don't like coffee at all. Even if it's free, I'm not
going to
take it.
Starbucks is still happy he bought a pastry. While this woman sipped on her Java that was gratis.
Are you surprised today and shocked to find out they were doing this?
I heard it on the radio this morning. I sure did.
Good for you. Heard it on the radio. We like that.
7,500 stores across the U.S. took part in the promotion. Ed McCarthy.
All right, okay.
Send him to Baghdad.
Who is shocked? He's shocked when moths attack your house. You're shocked when you have cancer. You're shocked when an earthquake kills your children. He's shocked. I was horrified that Starbucks was giving away coffee.
All right, let's talk to more of the great unwashed waiting for free coffee.
hold on, here we go. Right.
Overwhelming you here for the free coffee?
Not overwhelming us, but it's getting kind of backed up, yeah.
You look a little frazzled there. Are you getting busy or what?
Well, it's a good event. We're going to have a lot of people through, get a lot of coffees out, get everybody a taste of how good Starbucks coffee is.
I'm glad to see they're handling the hard-hitting news there at CNN. Didn't CNN used to cover wars and presidential scandals and things that happen? News?
And harassing the poor Starbucks.
You get hurt over there nowadays.
All right, there you go.
Just unwanted there.
So I'm glad we've done our part to give Starbucks some free advertising. I feel so much better about myself. I had to stop going there because we have this listener. There's this guy, Adrian. And Adrian, let's see. Adrian, if you've seen Bigger Than Jesus, which you should have, Bigger Than Jesus, the stage show I did in the movie, Adrian is the guy in the front row that when I'm doing the character of Pastor Steve, he's the guy that I talk to about Jefferson Starship. And I say, Jefferson Starship, is headed straight for Planet Overdose? He's the guy I talk to. Mm-hmm. And he's just this huge Adrian and his girlfriend, Alicia, and I thought it was Alicia, but it's Alicia. Adrian is this listener we have, and he's like the T-1000. He's just one of those. And when I say freak, I mean that in a good way. I mean, he's just a freak for working out. He's huge and muscular. He looks like one of those guys you would see pitching some late-night fitness infomercial product. He's just got the huge muscles and the six-pack, and he always looks like he just oiled himself up and came from, a bench press competition. He's just this huge workout guy. And he's a big fan of the show, and we've known each other for a while. So about a month or so before we come back, I had talked to him because I was trying not to be so flabby, and I was trying to lose a little weight and just trying to keep myself in shape and so forth. And he was like, well, the first thing you got to do is cut down on the following five things, which are terrible for you, and pastries and so forth. And that's always my big challenge is pastries. So then the next time I see him, I'm walking right out of a Starbucks at the mall right here downtown, the Pioneer Courthouse Square or whatever it is. I'm walking right out of the Starbucks holding like a blueberry coffee cake that I'm actually shoving into my mouth. And I literally walk around the corner and into him. And it's like walking into a handball wall. You know what I mean? Because he's just so ripped. So I'm walking around the corner. Boom! You know, right into Adrian. And he looks up, and it's like there's no... I mean, it's like my hand is halfway into my mouth, shoving the coffee cake. Shoving it in. And there's no plot. What am I going to say? I tripped, and I fell on the coffee cake. There's no... All I'm doing is shoving, you know, just fat and sugar and direct into my mouth. Because I got this whole weakness for their coffee cake.
You really do. I have never seen anyone buckle as quick as you.
Because I'm not, as you all know, I don't have much of a sweet tooth except for, like, pastries. So if it's like a cookie or like cake or like a muffin or something, pastries are my, they're my Achilles, they're my kryptonite. And so I found the worst website in the history of the world. Lara pointed me this way, which is, it's, where you can find the caloric content of anything at any chain, any restaurant, or any food that has to register their nutritional information with the, what is it, the FDA, you can look it up. So you could go to, like, you can go to the menu and look up Starbucks. Do you know how much that Starbucks coffee cake, how many calories are in that? And I hate to sound like one of those guys who's like some girl or whatever, but you know how many calories are in a piece of Starbucks coffee cake?
I don't know.
Yes.
600.
560.
Wow.
And it's like, it's not big. I mean, it's like the size of whatever, like a small, like a, I don't know, it's
like half a brick.
It's a piece of cake.
That's more than a citizen of a third world country would eat in a year.
Two of those, and that's technically all you need to eat for the day. So, and it's like, here's another thing. And I swear to God, I'll quit talking about my calorie count because I know how that sounds. But I've tried just to make some real basic changes to my diet so that I'm not just bloating up like the marshmallow man. So I would do this thing where I would get two boxes of Kraft macaroni because I am poor white trash and always have been. So, and you can take the kid out of the hick town, blah, blah, blah. But I would get two boxes. And you know what I'm talking about, the Kraft macaroni with the cheese packet and the fluorescent orange. And I would take two boxes of that, pour them into a bowl, stir it up, eat it. Sarah Dillon, let me ask you this. How many calories do you think are in two boxes? And I'm talking the regular
exactly
single
how
serving.
There.
How many calories are in two boxes worth of prepared Kraft macaroni?
About 2,500.
Yeah, 2,500. That's 2 days worth of calories. It's more than 2 days worth of calories.
One box is supposed to serve four.
I know, when you look at it, it shouldn't be serving.
It just isn't enough.
I can still eat an entire box by myself.
And it claims that there's like five servings in the box, which is a load. No one does that. So I'm effectively having like 10 servings. And that was not what I ate like for the whole day. Like that would be lunch, you know, or dinner. You know, and then it's like 10 p.m. Better have a snack, you know, and put it. It's just the worst thing ever. So I had to quit eating that Starbucks coffee cake because I was just, it was unpleasant. It was not good times to be me. And you're totally getting that thing where it's like your pants don't quite want to close. And I'm sorry. What are we doing?
Talk about Starbucks.
Let's be done with that.
All right. Let's see here. A student said he was expelled Monday from West Lynn High School for showing a student film which he was assigned to make entitled Brokeback High. The film is a gay love story based on themes in Brokeback Mountain, set in modern-day high school. Brandon Flight was on his website yesterday. I said on his website yesterday that the school is not calling the dismissal an expulsion.
Well, they never do.
He has been transferred to nearby Clackamas Community College, where he'll spend the next 2 months of his senior year. But will be allowed to walk with his high school class at graduation and attend the prom as a guest, depending on his behavior this spring.
I don't understand. So the school told him to make a gay film and then expelled him for it?
Apparently, he says that before he showed his film to the English class, in which it had been assigned, so it was assigned in an English class, it was required by the administration to edit out a scene of the two leading male characters snuggling shirtless together in bed. Okay. But then he also showed the film to his marine biology class with a disputed scene left in the director's cut, apparently. And the administration thought that this was a big enough violation to warrant an expulsion.
Why his marine... Look, I'm not implying anything.
I know.
Why would a student be alone in a classroom, presumably, with a teacher who's not related to the subject in any way, showing him a film in which men cuddle together and caress one another? And
apparently
look at one another's...
That was an
firm
English
buttocks.
Class assignment.
All right. Well,
kids these days.
Whatever.
The National Republican Congressional Committee has snagged the wholesome blonde and buxom Jessica Simpson to attend its fundraising gala on Thursday. House Majority Leader John Bonar, a Republican of Ohio, is the lucky guy who gets to sit next to the Dukes of Hazzard star.
Uh-huh.
Not that he would recognize her, roll call reports.
I'm not sure if he knows who Jessica Simpson is, the majority leader spokesman Kevin Madden says. Boner celebrity recognition standards crashed and burned with the introduction of color television.
All right. We missed all that Jessica Simpson. That's one of the things we missed.
I am so burned out on
her. I'm over her. We missed it. Now it's back to Britney.
And J-Lo.
We got J-Lo news coming up today. Sarah Dillon, when we were loading the sound for this show last week, Sarah Dillon was heard to say, do we need to put in the J-Lo theme? She's not going to be back in the news. Mm-hmm. You said that this weekend?
I said until she was impregnated by Mark Anthony.
Today, J-Lo news we have.
We'll see if it's newsworthy. I think that you're just trying to prove me wrong.
I'm just trying to play the theme. That's all. No, we missed all the Dukes of Hazzard, all the Jessica Simpson stuff. And so it's boomerang.
All of her, like, slutting about and sleeping with all those guys.
Well, and dumping Nick Lachey.
Who
everybody sided with. Do you notice that everybody in America... This is a weird phenomenon that I've noticed. That when you have celebrity divorces, it's odd. Everybody in the country immediately picks a side, and we all pick the same side. You know what I mean? Okay, here's a little quiz. What side...
I know who you're going to say.
Who am I going to say?
Jennifer Aniston.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Okay, now did you come down on Brad's side or Jennifer's side?
Jennifer.
See, everybody did.
Well, because obviously Angelina Jolie was pregnant when they were still going through their divorce.
Yeah, she's a hoe.
Yeah.
So everybody came down on Jennifer Aniston's side. Everybody I know came down on the Burt Reynolds side of the Burt and Lonnie thing. And then here we go Jessica Simpson, Nick Lachey. And everybody came down on his side, including Likas, I think. Even when he went after, which is so great that he went after alimony too. And he's all like, I've become accustomed to living in a certain, you have to pay me, and I don't know if the judge has granted that or not, but I think that's fantastic. I hope he just rides that gravy train for the rest of his life. I think that's a brilliant thing for him to do. Because everybody knew that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody knew that it was just the publicist keeping them together anyway, so good for you. Are we still in the story?
We should finish with politics first.
Well, let's do this, and then we'll take a break.
Okay. The Republican Party has wondered what's taking Democrats so long to unveil their year-long agenda. Amid press reports, it'll happen any day now. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi offered what amounts to a draft version. In a speech to the Communications Workers of America today, Pelosi mentions the Democrats' opposition to outsourcing. She says Democrats will end tax subsidiaries for countries that send jobs overseas. Democrats also support an increase in the minimum wage, describing the income of corporate America CEOs as immoral, using Walmart to make her point. America lags behind other countries that have universal broadband deployment, Pelosi said. But the Democrats' agenda guarantees that every American will have affordable broadband within 5 years.
Whatever you say. I don't know. Do we all have broadband here?
Cable internet.
Yeah, see, I got cable. Sarah?
I don't know what I have.
Oh, that's right. You just moved in with some dudes.
Yeah.
So this is,
There's a hole in the wall on the thing, and they plugged it in, and it works.
I'm sorry?
Put the cord
in.
Something else.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever. Note to self. So Sarah, and this is like a thread, we'll expand it later. Right now this is the collapsed version of this. So in the time we've been off, Sarah's moved in with a guy, stopped living with that guy, and now moved in with three guys.
She's in television.
Two guys.
So there
and
you
I
go.
Got them drunk last night. I think I convinced them to get cable.
Excellent. Yeah. Good times. So we'll talk about that here in a while. Well, let's break here. When we come back, Jim Roop will be joining us to talk about all things Jackson, ladies and gentlemen. It's 503-733-2970. It's like the fifth time this song is played.
It is. I'm actually just testing the hotkeys because the buttons are all switched around. So this is the last time we'll have this for a while.
Well, no, I'm a fan of this song, but there's like 500 songs in there.
Oh, we'll get to a new one.
Same. All right. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Johnson 970. Proud part of the CBS radio family. You stay there. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland, Oregon. Where we are, where we've been, where we remain, where we shall always be. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. And again, the phones are The phones are, until we can get another wage slave in here, the phones are a little wacky, a little hairy, a little hectic. So just, you gotta be patient. And coming up later on, though, we're gonna update the Rick Emerson fact. That's in the 2 o'clock hour. Cause I gotta update my webpage, and like the fact has all of this outdated information. So later on today, we'll take emails, phone calls, etc., and we'll figure out what everybody wants to know and what are the questions that everybody's gonna be kinda asking again and again so we can get those handled. CNN Radio's Jim Roop. You're going to be joining us here in just a short while to talk about Michael Jackson. Later on, CNN Radio's Gary Baumgarten is going to talk to us about the theft of organs and the violation of corpses in New York City. What else? We'll go through the Rick Emerson firing box, a box of crap I took home from Intercom last day. Boy, this building's filled with people that despise Intercom. I won't name names. Just during the break, there's like the fourth person. It was like ducked into the studio in the last 3 days. I'm like, yeah, I'm glad you're here. Screw Intercom. And then they shut the door and then they're gone. So... we are here with Sarah X. Dillon and Tim Riley. What else? We got a musical tribute to Tim Riley coming up as well. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Listen to this. Scott Stapp has... Oh, he... I don't believe this. He apparently has asked a judge to block distribution of an explicit video. Yes, finally something Kid Rock and Scott Stapp can agree on. Well, you know what happened. A month after Rock took a similar action, Stapp filed a federal lawsuit yesterday in Los Angeles in an effort to stop Worldwide Red Light District from selling and promoting a sex video featuring himself, Rock, and four other women.
I can't even imagine who would order such a tape, though. That's my whole thing. Like, I can't... I'm trying to conjure up in my head the person that goes... Are you typing in... Are you looking for the Scott Stapp sex tape?
No, I haven't seen it, though.
All right. Because, like, as soon as he said that, you leaned over and you started typing away.
No, Scott Stapp grosses me out. That's just Kid Rock.
That's what, well, I mean, Kid Rock at least has that sort of slut fan base, you know, the sort of trashy, you know, my people.
The big-chested one.
But it's like, but it's like with Scott Stapp, like, I can't even fathom anybody, man, woman, plant, mineral, anybody who says, you know what I need to see is Scott Stapp having hot, sweaty sex. And I just, there's no one... I mean, it's like two things that I think don't taste great together at all. Like, I can't fathom anybody who's into one wanting to see the other anyway. And I said this before, if Kid Rock was really smart, I don't know, but if Kid Rock, you know, he's hadn't been in the news for a while, and he's got a new album out, it's not selling all that well, so Kid Rock needs, you know, he needs a little something to give him some juice. If Kid Rock was smart, you know what he would do? Is he would totally make a huge publicity coup out of this by filing an injunction predicated on the fact that he wants to, you know, to save America. That he wants to keep America from being subjected to the side of a nude Scott Stapp. That's what he would do. And he would say, I want to save America's eyeballs. I don't want you to be traumatized or horrified. I am stepping in to protect the people from the image of Scott Stapp. And that would be funny. It'd be funny, and everybody would think it was great, and it would accomplish his purpose. It'd be kind of, you know, and he would be a hero to everyone. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, Michael O'Leary doesn't need to choose between sinning and nibbling this St. Paddy's Day. O'Leary will enjoy his corned beef on Friday with a clear conscience, thanks to a special dispensation from another Irish-American, Archbishop Timothy Dolan of Milwaukee. Dolan is among dozens of bishops from Green Bay to Chicago to Boston, granting one-day dispensations for Lenten rules that prohibit Roman Catholics from eating. I didn't even know they still had this. Eating meat on Fridays.
Now, but
they got rid of that even when I was a kid.
That was like 67, Vatican II, they got rid of that.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, if Dolan hadn't granted this, the director of Milwaukee St. Patrick's Day Parade, he would stick to the rules, meaning he wouldn't prepare his corned beef brisket. But with the bishop's blessing, he plans to put the brisket on a slow cooker early Friday morning and then slather.
That's an appealing word.
Slather it with mustard and other condiments come dinner time.
All right, here's some unpleasant words. Corned anything. Slathered anything. Condiments is an unpleasant word. I don't even know what corned beef is. Understand that I don't really care. It's not one of those things I'm all like, I'm all curious. I don't need to know about it. I just don't understand what corned beef means.
Well, is if beef isn't bad enough to begin with, they throw corn into it and grind it up into something and cook it.
And that's the other thing. Every show meeting we've had over the last 2 weeks has been all three of us. It's been me and Sarah and Tim. And of course, Tim can't eat anything. So we've had the, we went to some Thai place.
That was a good Thai place.
Yeah, but it's like,
it was really good.
So difficult trying to find a place that that Tim can eat at, so.
It was only a block away. It wasn't that difficult.
No, and they had to do that, and they had to, but they, during Vatican II, they did that whole thing where you can eat meat. Right? I think it's only during Easter.
And what Catholic plays by these so-called rules anyway?
No one. Are we in Lent now?
Gee, I don't know.
We're all fallen Catholics here. Shouldn't one of us know?
I don't think we are because I haven't seen anyone with that dust on their forehead like you usually do this time of the year.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, the Ash Wednesday. So was Ash Wednesday? Was today Ash Wednesday, Sarah?
No, that was a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Oh, we're already in it.
I guess I was still unemployed, so I wasn't seeing the...
Yeah, my mom called and yelled.
Oh, did you go to church?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in Salt Lake, it's funny, though, because the Mormons had no idea what Ash Wednesday was, a lot of them. And so, like, you would see the guys walking around the office with the ash on the forehead. And there would always be that awkward moment when one of the Mormons would pull a Christian and say, Stan, you got a little something on your... No, let me... Here, let me just, like, daub their finger. Yeah, a little ash. Let me get that out of there.
I gave up unemployment for rent.
Thank you. There you go. My dad tried to give up beer once, and my mom tried to give up coffee once. And both of those things imploded after like a day.
You can just imagine.
That wasn't going to work out at all.
Sounds like an explosive situation.
All right, let's go ahead. Sarah, I don't have the roof theme. Let's go ahead and ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. After a long, 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 bitter and tear-inducing absence from Los Angeles, the city of angels, CNN radio correspondent, a deity, nay, an all-powerful God-like creation from CNN radio, Jim Roop. How are you, sir?
Oh, shucks, Dad. I'm
fine. How are you, Jim? It's been too long, man.
I've been all right. How about you?
It's okay. You know, one day you were there, and then the next, you were cruelly and callously yanked away from us, like a news-bearing fetus yanked out of the Rick Emerson womb.
I'm so glad to be back, man.
Dude, we were working for Fisher, and we got absorbed by Intercom Radio, and like the very first decision they made was that they were going to get rid of CNN, and like they never bothered to tell any of us, and so I come into work one day, and I'm like, yeah, we'll have Roop about this fantastic story that I can't wait to talk about that's going to be the entire crux and backbone of the news hour. And I call CNN, and they're like, you are no longer an affiliate. Please do not call again. Like, hang on. They were totally...
I've tried to send emails to you on your website a few times.
Really? I haven't gotten any of those.
Well, I don't know what to tell you about
that. Mine don't even get through. Don't feel bad.
I got nothing. So... Anyway, so I don't know what went down there, but the first thing I did when we got back over here at 970 was to reinstate the CNN, my friend, because you have been sorely missed by not only myself but the Rick Emerson audience. They have pined for your news and your opinion.
Very, very kind, my sir. Very, very kind.
And you hear your first day back on the show, and you got Jackson news. Am I right?
Yeah, that seems never go away, doesn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. And you know what? And I was so worried that he would kill himself while we were off the air, and then there'd be no more Jackson news. But now it looks like he's going to continue to just give and give and give.
Yeah, he is. He is the gift that keeps on giving, and so, he will continue to do so, even though we're not sure where he's going to live next, because I think Bahrain has pretty much washed their hands of him.
Now, what do you have to do to get kicked out of a Middle Eastern country? I mean, really, it seems like they're... Bahrain? Now, I'm an ugly American. Where is Bahrain in Saudi Arabia?
It's in the Persian Gulf. I mean, you have to, like, eat a cow in front of somebody, I think, to really make somebody angry.
I mean, you can train people to fly planes into things over there, apparently. But, so I don't know what Michael Jackson would have to do to get booted out. But are they talking about bouncing him from that place?
Well, I think the prince has pretty much gotten tired of financing Michael Jackson. I mean, Jackson's been living over there. This guy's been paying for everything. Jackson has no money. Now we know for sure he has no money. So I think he's just been living off the land over there, living off the fat of the prince. And I think the prince has just gotten ticked off about it and said, look, man, you have to get out of here.
Wouldn't you love to see him working at like a Dunkin' Donuts somewhere? Wouldn't that, I mean, I know that sounds like a bad Mad TV sketch, but wouldn't you love to see Jackson having to work at like an all-night check-cashing place or a bowling alley or something?
He may have to. In fact, he's got some of his own relatives working like a guard shack at Neverland Ranch. It's pretty bad right now.
Well, and then what's his name? Was it Jermaine that was going to write a tell-all book, and then he yanked it at the last minute because the whole family apparently lived at Neverland. Like, Jackson puts up his entire family. Like, they all live with him.
Yeah, well, they still have that house in Encino, but for the most part, in that, it's like the Playboy Mansion. I mean, it's like an open door. You can go in and come and you can come and go as you please. Some people have keys, some don't. Some know where the key's hidden, some don't. It's a very strange land, that Neverland. And right now, it's in pretty much disarray and in disrepair because they haven't worked over there. People haven't worked in a while, so the gardening is getting out of hand. Although there is a veterinarian up there who has put the animal staff on his salary so that those exotic animals that live there will be able to survive. But as far as the rest of the place, it's falling into disrepair.
So I could probably just show up and start living there to be a few weeks before they spotted me.
You really could.
Just kind of wandering the halls.
There's no real security on that fence. I mean, it's not that hard to hop it and get over into the land there, especially now when security isn't as tight as it used to be.
Really? Is that true? So if you had a modicum of intelligence, you could scale the wall and get into Neverland?
It really is not. When you see the front gates of Neverland, it looks pretty big on television, but it really is. It's kind of an unassuming little end of a roadway.
That's fantastic. And it
wouldn't be that hard, I wouldn't think, anyway, to hop that fence or hit the wall or climb over one of the shrubs and have your way with the place.
If you're under 12, you just walk right in.
I got listeners in California, so Trevor in Huntington Beach, this is directed at you. You do it. Go break in the Neverland. So Jackson is, okay, it's a two-part question. A, and I don't even know that you can answer this, how much money does he owe people? And B, does he have any money at all? Is he making money on anything?
Well, no. I mean, we're told that he's been working out and preparing to either tour or come up with another album. Uh-huh. And Janet is also, she's ballooned up nicely. She's working out now, too, and trying to slim down and get back. She's got that Marlon Brando thing going. She's trying to get back in shape because she wants to start working again, too. So the family's a little out of shape, both financially and physically. Michael Jackson, we know, owes $306,000 to his employees. We know that he has to pay a $100,000 fine to the government for that. We know that he has to pay $69,000 to the government for allowing his workers' compensation insurance to lapse, about a grand per employee. So he has 69 people. He has to pay a total of about $306,000, and he can't do that. So if he can't pay his employees, there's a whole lot of bills he ain't paying.
His whole career is just turning into a pumpkin, isn't it? I mean, the clock is striking midnight, and it's
midnight for Michael Jackson.
Seriously, it's a bad thing. You know what they ought to do is make money? Are you talking about him and Janet? Because nobody's going to pay to see them on stage, and nobody, that last album he put out tanked, and the greatest hits before that tanked. Yeah,
they will go see him like they want to go to the sideshow at the circus. I mean, people will go see him because now it's not so much Michael Jackson the entertainer. At least this is from what people have been telling me. If Michael came back out in concert, they'd go see him just so they could say they went to see him post-trial and all of that stuff.
Well,
he will still make money regardless of the reason why people want to see him.
Well, this is like when I went to see Guns N' Roses a few years ago, and I was a big fan, but I knew a lot of people who went to see Guns N' Roses because it was right before the band imploded, and everybody wanted to be there the night that Axl just lost it and went crazy. And my thought is, here's what you do. If you just, like, people would pay, you just put Michael or Janet or both of them in a cage, and for like $10, just let people poke them with sticks for a while. Like, I would totally pay that. Like, if you gave me, like, $100, I get, like, 3 pokes with a stick at Michael Jackson.
And he really is turning into the Elephant Man, isn't he?
He really is. I mean, it just...
You're doing it for the Katrina victims instead of releasing that single.
Yeah, seriously. So
he'd make more money putting himself in a cage. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm talking about. I hope California should do is California should just offer to buy it outright for some egregiously overpriced sum, like $1 billion or whatever, with the proviso that Michael isn't allowed to touch it, take anything out of it. Like, California buys it as is right now, today, and it's sealed. So he can't go and, like, be screwing with anything and taking out the secret torture chamber or anything. And then they just turn it into the state of California makes it a tourist attraction, and they charge you $25 to walk through.
Wow.
I'm telling you, that you Jackson gets paid, and your horrendous deficit there, you know, your Schwarzenegger bails out the state, you pass that along, you can take credit for it.
I won't take credit for it, but I will definitely pass that along. However, I don't know that Neverland will get to quite the status that, say, Hearst Castle is. But I think you're right. People would pay to go through it.
I'm telling you, man, I'd pay. If you told me for $50, I could walk through Graceland. Because, see, at Graceland, Jim Roop from CNN Radio, at Graceland, there are certain rooms you can't go in. You can't go in Elvis's bedroom, for example. Priscilla runs that place with an iron fist, and you can't, there's a lot of things you can't see. You can't see the bathroom. They can't see the toilet where he died. And, I mean, it's like, if I'm going to pay, like, $75 or whatever to get raised, I want to see the toilet where the king went out. You know what I mean? And it's like, so that's it. And Michael, like, I got to be able to go in and jump up and down on Michael Jackson's bed. That's what, I want to hear the squeaking of Michael Jackson's mattress. I'd pay for that because I'm, you know, but I think I represent the taste of the commoner in this country.
Well, I think you do, too. And I believe that if they were smart, the state, that is, it would buy the place and do it just as you say. Right. That way it can make, you know, a lot of money off that place, turn it into a state park, if you will. There's lots of grounds for picnicking and what have you. So
that's what I'm saying.
Idea. Make it a state park.
You see,
it
on our
overnight camping.
On our first day back. On our first day back together, we've already solved some problems here, Jim.
Turn it into a Boy Scout reservation camp. That's what you do.
See, there you go.
Then they can sell franchises nationwide.
Total Neverland East. All right, Jim Roop, it is so good to hear you on the airwaves again with us. We will have you back very soon, my friend.
Well, let's not make it 2 years, shall we?
No. God, no. God Almighty. Okay. All right, thank you, Jim. We'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, Rick, thank you, man. Welcome back.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Oh, there you go. There's Jim Roop. CNN radio correspondent in Los Angeles. God, it's good to hear you back on the air.
It's just like old times.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Rick, no one's interested in hearing CNN radio correspondents on the talk program. It's a dull feature. We're going to get rid of it. Brilliant. Hey.
Freaking geniuses!
Do we have to take a break? No, we don't. We're going right to the top with this.
Yep.
Excellent. 8 o'clock. Don't even know how it runs. Here's Tim Riley.
Let's talk about stocking, shall we?
Stockings, like silk stockings?
Not the kind you wear in your feet, no.
Oh, okay.
The kind that peek in your window. Cable news beauty Monica Crowley faced down her alleged stalker in court, telling a jury how a lovesick kook haunted her with disturbing emails and followed her around town armed with roses. I was horrified, terrified to walk around the city where I live. I think this guy was following me, Crowley said. She was talking about the suspect, 41-year-old Ronald Martin. In Manhattan Supreme Court, Martin, who was arrested almost 2 years ago, is on trial for tormenting Crowley.
Tormenting. I want to be charged with tormenting. It's like what's his name? Eazy-E was charged with menacing somebody, and I always thought that was a badass thing to be charged with. Tormenting.
Well, she's a gorgeous blonde who worked for former President Richard Nixon.
That's not
so
true.
Does everybody.
She's bony and beak-like. She's bad. She looks like Ann Coulter, sort of, but more drawn.
Mm-hmm. WABC, AM, Fox News, and MSNBC. That's your downfall right there.
Yeah.
In a star turn on the witness stand, a black-clad Crowley coolly recounted how in the course of a year, a few emails from a vet escalated into an obsession that left her deadly afraid. The 37-year-old, she's 37.
Sure she is. She's 37.
About 10 years ago, she was 37.
37. She was Richard Nixon's personal assistant. Mm-hmm. And now, granted, it was after he left office, but, yeah, you ain't 37.
She was a child prodigy.
Yes. You're 37 in no kind of years.
Yeah, she was riding a tricycle around the Oval Office, taking dictation.
All right, honey.
The so-called 37-year-old conservative broadcaster just finished her radio show and was on an E-train looking down the tracks when she felt a hand grab me hard on the forearm, she said. She spun around and saw the schlub. That's S-C-H-L-U-B, schlub.
What newspaper is this from? Wait, is this from the New
Daily
York
News.
Post?
Daily
the
News.
The Daily News. Okay, there you go, yeah.
She saw the schlub who had been popping up outside her office for months, which had forced her to change her routine and seek police protection. He was 2 inches from my face. 2 inches, she said tearfully.
I'm done caring. I don't care about Monica Crowley.
Okay.
Stalk her all you want. I don't care.
She's only 37.
37 in metric years.
She lost her innocence.
You think that working with Richard Nixon would just inure you to all kinds of... Like, you think you'd have some... You gotta have some deal with Voldemort to work for that guy anyways. You think she'd have some protection field. All right, let's move on.
Movie veteran Michael Douglas has launched an astonishing attack on Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, mocking their relationship and adopting children. Not adopting their children, but their adopted children. Douglas claimed Hollywood's golden couple was unlikely to stay together.
Okay, let's take this one at a time. First of all, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are not Hollywood's anything couple. They're not golden. They're not whatever. There's no. I don't know anybody.
Not even platinum.
No, I don't know anybody out there. That's good for them. I'm glad that Brad and Angelina hooked up and... And it's like every time they photograph her, you know, for a woman who supposedly values her privacy, you see that every time they photograph her, she's holding up one of her many ethnic children to the camera.
Uh-huh.
You know, look at me, I'm open-minded. And it's every time. And I don't know what Brad Pitt, you know, there was like a golden moment there. That, you talk about a guy who blew it. There was a moment where Brad Pitt was, because if you remember, and I do, because these are the things I care about. This is why we appeal so strongly to that desirable demographic.
Yes.
Because Brad Pitt, if you remember early on in his career, he had a hard time getting men to like him because he was such a pretty boy. Right?
And they had a hard time selling him because, remember, his whole thing was being shirtless in Thelma and Louise. That was Brad Pitt, right? He'd look at me with my rippling whatever. And so it's like, but the normal dude in America that goes to the movies, don't want anything to do with him. And that's why Fight Club was such a challenge. They found, they did this great marketing research for Fight Club where they found out that no one wanted to see it because women wouldn't see anything with fight in the title and men hated Brad Pitt because he was a pretty boy. And so that guy with 12 Monkeys, Fight Club, a Seven, that guy really carefully fought his way into, you know, A-list status where everybody loves him. And now he's just blown it all because I don't think America likes Angelina Jolie. I think guys want to do her, but I don't think anybody really likes her. I think
girls are just jealous of her. Maybe. I mean, she's so perfect looking.
She's not, though. She looks weird. She's weird looking.
Maybe she's one of those Gwen Stefani types where girls think that, you know, she's prettier than guys
do. Totally. Like, have you ever met a guy? I mean, not that any guy would turn Gwen Stefani down, obviously, but that's no benchmark of anything. Have you ever met a guy that put Gwen Stefani in the top of his hot chicks list? Or Gwyneth Paltrow or any other women, any other of those women who are only loved by other women? And so Brad Pitt is blowing all the goodwill. And every time I see him, he's got like shinier teeth and more flawless, tight skin. And
he just follows her around. It just makes him very unattractive.
That's no way to keep Nate listening.
Like he's stalking some 37-year-old news anchor woman.
Seriously, no. All of those guys that bonded so hard with him in Fight Club. It's no way to keep the angry white man demo in your camp, Brad.
Now, Michael Douglas looked into his crystal ball and claims Hollywood's golden couple are likely to stay together.
All right. He said in a lizard-like croak filled with dust.
Time now for the first J-Lo watch since our return.
Here's your J-Lo watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
She may be good old Jenny from the block, but Jennifer Lopez had better get her Texas accent into practice. If the latest story churned out by the rumor mill is correct, the Latino diva is set to play Sue Ellen Ewing in the big screen version of Dallas. The U.S. magazine reckons the director is finalizing his key members, with Jen set to join John Travolta.
This is going to be the worst movie ever.
Tony Danza was too busy to play the lead role.
Oh boy, we just turn back the hands of time. Can you get me Travolta and J-Lo and also make it 1995 again? Thanks. I need that by lunch.
The classic 80s TV show chronicled the exploits of, well, we all know about this anyway. He set the star as J.R. Ewing. Lopez will play Sue Ellen Ewing.
Travolta's going to play J.R. Ewing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What could possibly go wrong?
And then we have Owen Wilson, who will star as Bobby Ewing. Shirley MacLaine to play Miss Ellie Ewing.
Owen Wilson, though, can do anything. That guy, he's like Tommy Lee Jones to me, that I'll let him do anything because he's always sort of winking at the camera.
Yes.
You know? Like, Owen Wilson, it's like he never really takes himself, like, you totally know that in real life he knows it's a retarded idea, but he just rolls with it because they're paying him, and what are you going to do, you know? But it's like, you know, listen to that, but that dovetails with this.
All right.
Well, let's close the J-Lo watch. So there you go. Worst idea ever. Thank you. J-Lo theme?
Sure.
All right.
That was fun.
So that ties in with this. By the way, I was at a department store the other day looking for something. I forget what it was, like a buying a thing. Anyway, but there was some ice skating competition. You know, they have the bank of televisions that just like to demonstrate. It's a bank of ice skating competitions happening, and they were using the Dallas theme for no readily discernible reason. And it's amazing how that is still hardwired into my brain. I spotted it immediately. All right. So bad movie casting news, the first, was Travolta and J-Lo in Dallas. Now, listen to this. You probably have heard this, because I'm late with it. But Ice Cube is another guy who I can kind of do anything, but Ice Cube reprised Gabe Kaplan's title role in a film version of Welcome Back, Kotter. Dimension Films will make the movie based on the popular 1975 to 1979, which is totally misleading when they say the popular 1975. It was popular from 1975 to 1976.
Yes.
From 76 to 79, it just lingered like a bad lingering thing because they.
It was the ER of its time.
It was just sitting there just. Don't we have something on at 8:30? Yeah, I don't know. I forget. Well, all right, you know, because Marcia Strassman, who played Mrs. Cotter, was stripping the producer, got Gabe Kaplan fired, and he went back to the... I don't even know where he is now.
He was doing a sports talk show in L.A.
Oh, God. He's doing a show with Ed Till somewhere.
Ed Till is a stand-up comedian.
Uh-huh.
According to his website.
Does he still live in Portland?
Ed Till and Kenny...
No, he's back in Brooklyn or wherever he's from.
Ed Till and Kenny Vance are trading headlining slots. I'm sorry.
I'm not going to say it then.
Dimension Films will make the movie based on the popular sitcom, listen to this, that launched the careers of John Travolta and Ron Palillo.
And what a great career Ron Palillo's had.
When is the last time anybody... Sarah, do you even know who Ron Palillo is?
Nope.
There you go. Launched nothing. Nothing was launched for Ron Palillo.
He was a screech of his generation.
He really was.
Yep.
Yeah. A guy who got famous going, ooh, ooh, that's it. Ice Cube said in a statement, there was no bigger fan of the original show than me. I'm very excited to be able to put a new twist on it. It's amazing how Ice Cube has morphed just seamlessly from being the life ain't nothing but bitches and money guy to just, he's an entrepreneur. He's a player. He's no longer just in the Players Club. He is actually now a player. He's morphed right into family entertainment, and he did
it without... skating in the Ice Capades anytime now.
Seriously, he did it without losing any of his street cred, too. It's pretty amazing. All the dudes still love Ice Cube. He's still got that, the whatever, you know, the grit or whatever, the edginess, but it's like he just makes all of these. Because hasn't he made, like, a bunch of kids' movies now? Didn't he do that one, like, Are We There Yet or whatever? What was that movie he made where it was, like, kids in a car on a road trip?
Are We Shot Yet?
Oh, they filmed it in Portland.
Oh, so. Well, that's why nobody knows.
Oh. Yeah. Well, everyone should know. Usually everyone in Portland's in the movies that are filmed here.
Maybe this person calling knows. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Do you have Ice Cube information for us?
No, but Gabe Kaplan.
Yes.
Okay.
He's a pro poker player now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
That's all.
And where did you learn? Did you see him somewhere?
In some bingo hall.
he plays on TV quite a bit.
Wait, is it on the... It's on the celebrity poker tour, though.
No, an actual real poker. Real poker tournament.
Really? Gabe Kaplan? We're talking the same... The same Gabe Kaplan that was in Mr. Cotter, Welcome Back Cotter, talking about... let me tell you a joke about my Uncle Shecky. That Gabe Kaplan?
Same
Is he good?
Yeah, he's actually pretty good.
Well, okay.
I'm not sure, but I think he may have won...
One game.
...bracelets or something.
Well, mazel then, I guess. You know, whatever. I mean, it's like, I guess, you know, if you're able to... Look, if you're able to avoid having a real job... I give it up to anybody who doesn't actually have to really work for a living. So,
yeah,
good on him.
I have a real job, and it's pretty great.
Well, are you unemployed?
No, I'm employed. I'm a tattoo artist, though.
Oh, that's not a real job. Yeah, good for you. No, I applaud anybody who does. And again, it's like, I feel so bad for that guy, because he was the biggest thing on TV, and then he got that underhanded woman. He totally got bounced out of the show. I've always felt really bad for Gabe. I always wanted to be like a Tarantino, and he was going to be like one of the washed-up actors I picked to make famous again. You know? Him and... Sorry, instead of beeping.
Tattoo customer.
All right. Dude, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, there you go. All right, so there you go. So there's your Ron Palillo update for the day. Do we have to break here? All right. Yeah, let's break. Now, when we come back, we'll have a little news blurb from Tim, and we'll talk about enjoying your unemployment a little bit. And Tim, Sarah, well, Sarah, not really. But Tim, you were unemployed.
Yes.
I was unemployed.
On many occasions.
We've got some listeners out there who are currently unemployed. So I tell you, when we come back, we're going to talk about enjoying your unemployment, what to do, what not to do. Later on, we'll go through my firing box, and we'll talk about the violation of corpses in New York. It's the Rick Emerson Show, right here at Johnson 970, part of the CBS radio family. All right.
the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland, Oregon, the city of roses. Stumptown, River City, Coffee Town, all of that stuff. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Does that spell anything? 733-Red. I'll look at the phone. Red. Bye. No. No, it spells nothing. There's probably some webpage somewhere you put in your phone number today. I don't think it spells anything. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. You want to email. Coming up this hour, we have a musical tribute to Tim Riley. Later on, we'll be going through the firing box. That's the box. When we got fired at Entercom, I shoved everything. I just took all the stuff on my desk and just slid it off with the arm into the box, and I took it home. We'll go through that, and we'll do the top five random bad songs that I found sitting in the box of crap that I took home when Entercom ill-advisedly fired us. Last April 21st. So we'll do that. Gary Baumgarten is going to be here this hour talking about the corpse violation and what else? Oh, and we'll let next hour, the 2 o'clock hour, we'll update the Rick Emerson FAQ, which is the frequently asked questions thing on the webpage. And all the questions people ask over and over again. And I don't know. I never know what people know about the show and what they don't. Like, you know, for example, there used to be the whole, you know, what does F map mean? And so there was a whole explanation for that. So we'll have to do that stuff. Before we do anything else, let's check in with Tim Riley at the City News Desk.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is the City Desk News Beat. 1 o'clock edition, Tim Riley reporting. Well, here's a tip for couples at a romantic drive to Oregon's coastal mountain range. Feel free to cuddle up close in that car. And for that privilege, you must thank newlywed Faith Miller, who likes to snuggle up next to her husband when the two head out for a drive. You see, the couple owns a spacious 1988 Chrysler Fifth Avenue, which means if Miller wants to snuggle, she has to slide into the middle of the car's front seat wearing a lap belt instead of a shoulder harness. That position drew a warning last week from Sheriff's Deputy Darren Boone, who pulled over the couple and told them, safety before snuggling.
I'm unclear about this. What is it? They were snuggling and he pulled them over?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're sure it was just snuggling?
That's all it says.
That's always what
canoodling.
Canoodling. They were doing some heavy petting. Do they even say that anymore?
No, I think that's a 50s term, I believe.
Canoodling. I'm going to start. There ought to be an adult product store called Kitten Canoodle.
But anyway, the woman felt chastised enough to move back over to the passenger side.
Oh, I know what she is. She's one of those women that has to sit right, like in a pickup truck. Was this in a truck?
No, this is a luxury car, a 1988 Chrysler Fifth Avenue.
And you've seen those trucks, and they've always got like a Toby Keith sticker on the back, and it's like where the guy's driving, of course, because he's a male, and then the woman is sitting like right next to him, like she, and he's got his arm around her, you know, so that she's not taken away by gypsies or something. And then there's the obligatory gun wreck. That's always the, by the way, that's the couple that, like in a booth, like at Denny's or Sherry's, they're always sitting on the same side of the table together, on the same side of the booth, and you just want to go over and beat him in the face with bricks.
Well, so she began looking through Oregon seatbelt laws. Miller found a provision requiring shoulder harnesses for children whenever one is available, but no comparable provision for adults.
Who takes this serious? Who cares?
She wanted to cuddle. As far as she could tell, harnesses were recommended but not required. That means Miller won't have to appear in Willamana Municipal Court next week. She also sees a bit of a silver lining to that, as she'll be celebrating her second wedding anniversary week.
Okay, how old is she? Does it say? I'll guarantee you she's like 20. That's exactly why. That's why she's still in the I have to cuddle with my husband every moment of the freaking day, because she's been married for 2 years. Eventually, man, that car won't be big enough. You're going to want a sidecar to get away from your husband after a while. All right. At the end of
Let's do the geek watch.
Let's do the geek watch here. All right.
High-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember, you used to
just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but because we were wondering if the quantum flux, and just listen on there.
There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energized.
The best part about that opening, by the way, is when he says, it's just a TV show. And the kid goes, ah, all right. It's just that little, ah. That's what makes it funny.
Now, this comes to us from
Television 16 Delmarva's news leader.
I have no idea where that is.
Also known as UPN 21, which also means close to bankruptcy.
Wait, now, isn't UPN, that's another thing we miss. Isn't UPN going away?
Yeah.
Aren't they becoming one network on the WB? Sarah, you work in television.
WE, WB, something like that.
Yeah,
WC?
Yeah, two networks are becoming one.
Is it the WC?
Yeah, they're becoming the WC.
Well, that's
remember,
good.
Remember, it sounds like some women.
Well, nobody's going to watch it anyway.
Isn't WC a bathroom?
Isn't in Europe, yes.
He's changing the name of their network.
It's a water closet.
the bathroom.
Well, anyway, Tokyo Gamer is going to have to wait a little longer for the much-anticipated PlayStation 3. Sony says it's pushing back the rollout from spring to November, citing problems finalizing the next-generation disc technology. Wednesday's announcement came at a hastily arranged news conference in Tokyo. Afterward, the delay surfaced in a number of newspapers. PlayStation 3 has been billed as crucial to Sony's profits and brand image, and the delay is regarded as a major setback. The development triggered a sell-off of Sony's stock. It lost 1.8% of its value at the Tokyo Stock Exchange. Sony's video game chief said the delay involved copyright protection technology for the Blu-ray disc format adopted for the PlayStation 3 and Sony's next-generation high-definition video.
Dude, I don't even have that. The Xbox 360 I don't even have. I'm so behind. Because I was playing the Xbox, of course, during my unemployment, which we'll talk about here in a second. And I was playing Doom 3. And I got so close to beating Doom 3. I was like, I fought my way through the various levels of hell, past imps and demons and all manner of things. I fought my way through Doom 3, and I was so, and then I had a system crash, and I lost all my progress on Doom 3, and I can't bring myself to play. The game is too terrifying. I am not man enough to play Doom 3 again for the beginning, because the game freaks me out too badly. I mean, there were moments where, like, I'd be playing Doom 3, and something would, and I would back away from the television, and, like, I would have to put the controller down and, like, go walk around in the sunshine outside, because the game just, it gets in your head, and it screws with you. You can't. So I haven't even bothered to turn that back on. So I've no need. So it's like that Quake 4 came out, but I think it's only for the 360, and I haven't bought it. So, all right, there's your geek watch.
By Grapthar's hammer, by the sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you.
Next. Loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
All right, excellent. So Rick Emerson Show, it's 503-733-2970. In just a second, we'll talk about some unemployment. And later on, Gary Baumgarten's going to talk about corpse violations in New York. Let's see who this is. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Paul.
Paul, how can I help you today, sir?
Just so that Rick doesn't sound quite so goofy, Delmarva Peninsula is the Delaware, Maryland, Virginia Peninsula.
That's what I thought.
Hot damn.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Very good.
Yeah, all right, there you go.
It's the Riviera of Delaware.
Whatever. Like everybody knows that, like I'm the only person or something.
You need to be nicer. He was just trying to help you out.
Oh, he was trying to be nice to Rick.
Well, we'll let him know.
Just so Rick knows. You pass it along to Rick. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Alan.
Hey, Alan, how are you, sir?
I'm very good. Hey, welcome back on the air.
Thank you.
How long have you been on, anyway? Oh.
Let's see, what's today? It's our third day back.
All right, I found you.
Came back on Monday, yes. So now, were you a listener in the past?
Yes, I was. In fact, that's what I was going to mention. That's what I did when I was jobless. I listened to Rick Emerson and was so immature, I guess you will. I taped the radio while I got on the air.
No, that's good for you. It's good for you. So now, during your unemployment, this is the show that helped you. This helped bring joy into your life, into the dull blackness that was your existence.
Oh, yeah, I taped myself, with a video camera, taped the radio as I got on the air. So, yeah, you brought me happiness.
I don't understand. Hold on.
I'm confused.
Let's all take a deep breath. What are you talking about?
I videotaped my camera while I was on hold for you, and so I could go back and basically listen to myself. It's just watching the camera. Watching the radio.
Someone help me with... So
you're doing it right now
or in the past?
In the past.
He's matured since those times.
But I don't understand what he's talking. Okay, hold on. So let's all get a hold of ourselves. So you in the past would help me out here. So
you were playing while I was on hold, waiting to get on the air.
But you're videotaping. But it's a radio.
Yeah, I know.
It's not going to get up and dance around. Okay, so you would be at home listening to the show.
Uh-huh.
You would say, hey, there's a topic I have to weigh in on.
I know the topic, too. It was the House of Dudes.
Okay, so we're talking about the House of Dudes. You're saying to yourself, Alan, that's a program I got to be part of. You would pick up the phone and call in, and then you would videotape
It was already videotaping. It was videotaping my radio for an hour.
It's something to pass on to the grandchildren.
Why were you videotaping the radio?
I was a loser. All right.
No. You're not a loser. We're glad that you're really into the show. I guess my question is, to what end? Like, what were you going to...
Was it just for the audio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know that. I thought... Okay, so if you're just... Okay, because you didn't have a tape deck.
Exactly.
Ah, now it's all clear
okay,
to me. Because were you all confused in here? Because I
was very confused.
I was like, you were videotaping the radio as though you expected a genie to come out of it. I didn't know to what end you were filming it. Okay, all right, now... My
just
brain
like
hurts. No. Yes, apparently so. All right, Alan, thank you for listening. You spreading the word, brother?
I will now. I just found out about you guys about 20 minutes ago, so yeah.
And how did you find out? Was it just sheer happenstance?
It's still on my radio dial, and I just happened to flip over to hear some comedy or whatever, and there was Riley.
Excellent. So there you go. So, sir, spread the word to two people, Alan.
You got it.
Thank you, Alan.
My only friend, so
all
you
right.
got it.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye. I just don't know how to feel about that call. It's a call that...
It does make sense.
I have all kinds of...
Well, now it does. Yeah, wish you... Yeah.
And we're his only friends.
I was confused.
All right. Well, don't... I was not asking me for money or anything. All right. I've only had the job like a week. I got nothing. All right. Should we do that? Well, let's do this. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's Rob.
Hi, Rob from the House of Rick. Okay, were you calling him to explain that?
No, actually, I'm videotaping you here right now.
So, I was so confused. I had no idea what he was talking about.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense now that he said for sound, but he could have got to that point a lot quicker.
Yeah, like, I didn't have a tape deck, and so I was filming it with a video camera to get the audio. But, like, he was told... Oh, here's what I thought. I thought, and I think everybody thought, that he was so excited to be talking to me on the phone that he was videotaping himself being on the phone with me, with the radio
next
in the background.
Next to the radio, yeah.
That's like, here's me with the radio talking to Rick Emerson, you know, to give his children or something someday.
What's funnier is picture him playing it back and watching it.
Just seriously, sitting on the couch watching the television, and it just shows a picture of the radio. That's the best thing ever. And I'm not poking fun. I think it's great, but I couldn't figure out what the hell we were talking about there for a minute.
Right. Have a good day, man.
All right, thank you, Rob. All right, Rob's so
okay,
high.
I'm glad we straightened that out.
Yeah, Rob is stoned like you wouldn't believe. All right, I got to get his sound effect back. I've finally gotten some of the sound effects. Like here, we've got this one. We've got the, and I got to get the Florida. We don't have the Florida sound there yet when we have the stories from Florida. All right, let's all, now we have no time to do the unemployment thing because it took an hour to figure out what the hell Alan was talking about. All right.
Yeah, my brain is pretty much spent after that last phone call.
Seriously, I have no
space left to...
I have no processing power left. God damn. All right, so here's what's going to happen, though. Is that like at 1:30, Gary Baumgarten's going to call us to talk about corpses. So between now and then, we've got like a stop set we got to do. We got a break. So do we want to break now, come back, and talk about unemployment until Gary calls?
I think that's a great idea.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to break, come back. We're going to talk about unemployment, what to do, what not to do, all of that. Gary Baumgarten's going to call and talk about corpses. We'll have more from Tim Riley, including a musical tribute to Tim Riley. We'll go through my firing box. You stay there, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Came to